Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
If you've been hurt in a road accident that wasn't your fault, you should really talk to G4 Claims first. Unlike road accident solicitors, we don't charge you for our services, which could see you better off. To keep 100% of your compensation, have a chat with Nicole and the team. You'll be glad you did. Search online for G4 Claims.
Keep 100% of your claim. G4 Claims.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selick the Thunder podcast. We are now on to episode number 93. It's probably one of the most defining episodes we're going to do in a long time. Probably one of the most defining ones we've done in a long time. A lot of opinion, a lot of thoughts, a lot of controversy. It's a bumper episode for you today. But as always, because it's episode number 93, I will ask you both. This is the last ever time I'll ask you, because it's the highest professional shirt number we've ever had at the club. Who has wore the number 93?
Not anyone of note, that's for sure.
Well, you say that, but you've got the help of being recent, because it wasn't that long ago.
Doke?
No.
Nah, we already had him on this, haven't we?
Yeah, because he was like...
I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday, so...
82 or something like that, I think he was.
Mm.
Come on, you've got to think.
93.
93?
Aye.
Recent, how recent was this?
The COVID season.
Cameron Harper?
No.
That's the name I always just go for when I think of the COVID season.
Okaflex.
Yeah, right. Do you know what? I'm going to tell you, because I don't want to sit here all day and talk about it. What if I give you a clue that he accidentally dropped who our next manager was going to be on a Twitch stream?
Diego Laxalt.
Diego Laxalt.
Jesus.
Was he 93?
He was 93,
so he was.
He was number 93.
Eddie Howe, tomorrow.
Remember that, you know, emergency podcast.
can't speak English. Oh, Eddie Howe, tomorrow.
Dark days, aren't they, man?
For some, we're about to enter the dark days again. We're going to get into all of that. Hello and welcome to the show. As I said, it's got to be a defining one, and I'm sure you want us to get into all the conversation. We're going to have our half-time quiz, we're going to have our full-time quiz, we're going to have the update on the Fantasy League as well, giving our shout-outs to the current top 10. But before that, my wonderful guests for this evening. To my right-hand side, we have Ryan McGinley. Ryan, how are you doing during these dark days?
Dark days? You know, you were given that big build-up saying this was going to be a defining episode. I was like, what has happened that I don't know
well,
about?
You know, a lot of people are saying...
administration or something?
Well, a lot of people are saying that this could be a season-defining week, Ryan McGinley.
Well, in terms of transfers, yeah, I would say Celtic need about three or four to come in and really drastically change the squad, but drastically improve the squad.
Do you see
the
point of my intro now?
Yes, I do now. Yeah. I understand now. I've caught up with you.
Thank you.
In that case, then yeah, but I'm not as panicky as other people, especially on the internet. I feel like I'm one of the calm ones now. You know, I feel like I made my name in the COVID season for being quite out there with my comments, but I've mellowed. I don't think I'm as mad as what I used to be.
Right, well, we'll get into it all. And then on the right-hand side, we've got somebody who certainly should be mellow as he returns back from his week holiday to Santa Ponza. We've got Kieran Auld. Kieran, how are you? How is the holiday? Geese and whack.
It's a pleasure to be back, but you're saying you're not panicking. It's time to run for the bomb shelters, I think. Nah, but...
it's end of the season, though.
But no, Santa Ponza's quality. Love the place. We'd happily go back, but now we're back. Came back and there's panic stations all round, so... That's fun, I suppose.
Do you know what's weird, though? Do you know what's really, really weird? The fact that we won when you were in Santa Ponza. That was the game that we won, the one that you watched there.
I'm kind of glad we never played this Saturday. If I had to watch that pish on my last day on holiday.
And before we go on as well, very quickly, you said that there was a listener of the show earlier that brought you a...
Padder. Probably watching.
There you go. Cheers.
Some lad.
Yeah, what a guy. What I did figure out last week, we didn't do a show, of course. We've had 2 weeks off, so I think that we're to blame. For the defeat, you know, we took a week off and look what happened.
We've taken it upon ourselves to come back, you know. You guys are in a crisis. Run away.
Like, what's her name?
Nanny. Super Nanny.
I was about to say Nanny McPhee.
Joe.
Joe. We're back and we're ready to help the Celts get back to winning ways. This weekend, Celtic take up. What are you laughing
at? I'm just fat shamed, though. That's terrible.
What did you say?
I said Big Joe. I didn't mean it like that. I meant big as in
she's a big personality.
Don't put me in the naughty step and be there for 25 minutes, 26.
Oh god. Right, Celtic against the Johnstones this weekend. We return back to league action and Celtic need to answer back from what was a disappointing cup exit. Listen, I don't even know where we begin, because you could touch on last week's performance, you could touch on last week's aftermath, you could, I don't know where you go. Ryan, it's a huge game on Saturday for Celtic.
Yeah, a really weird feeling last week, Brendan Rodgers losing a cup tie. It was almost like one of those, what do we do now? You know, it hasn't happened before in both of his tenures. Obviously, his first cup came back and it's a defeat. It was just a nightmare of a game. 90 minutes of absolutely nothing. I mean, Celtic could have been 2-0 up, as Brendan Rodgers was saying in his presser today. He said they could have been 2-0 up within 10 minutes. I think the game changed when that Matt O'Reilly chance was squandered. It was like the Matt O'Reilly shooting boots of last season were on his feet, rather than the one that's been scoring goals this season. And then just a catalogue of incidents that happened that caused the goal. I think there is some controversy with that goal, because it seems as if Daniel Armstrong gets rewarded from elbowing a player.
Yeah.
He elbows Greg Taylor. Greg Taylor's off the pitch, which means he's unmarked, and then he gets the assist. He basically gets rewarded for elbowing somebody. I know he's got to go off the pitch. That's the rules of the game, but it's still a bit killer. And then, you know, Celtic, they were kind of huffing and puffing, but they weren't making any big chances. And then at the end, they didn't get a penalty that really probably should have been a penalty. But, you know, who's to say that Celtic would have scored that anyway? It was just a bad performance all in, so many individually bad performances. I was a lot angrier at the time than I am just now. I think I've mellowed on it a bit, but at the same time, it's still annoying to talk about, and yeah, there needs to be improvements on Saturday. I'm sure there will be, because there has to be.
Yeah, Kieran, the performance was, I mean, there's not enough adjectives out there to describe how bad it was. We were extremely poor, and that's obviously given us the fate of being out one of the cup competitions. You need to get better than that if you want to go and win a league title. You can't play like that week in, week out, and that needs to start this weekend, quite frankly.
I know McGinley touched on the fact, like, you can sort of talk about Mel Cleary, but now you asked us earlier in the week if we wanted to do a podcast in reaction to it, and I would not have been up for that, because I think I needed a few days to try to rationalise my thinking, because at the time,
have you rationalised it?
Oh, absolutely not. But I mean, like, I just think at the time everybody seemed was so clouded, this pure red mist descended, and I think a lot of people did maybe lose the EW, but I mean, I'm not saying that performance was a cause for concern, because even in the opening weeks people had their doubts and that, but I think it all sort of culminated in that performance at Rugby Park. It just wasn't good enough. From front to back, we were poor all over the park. I mean, as we can talk about the decisions, it should have been a penalty. I cannot believe that elbow never really got looked at, which I thought was wild, because when you see it back, it's clear as day.
I mean, it's a potential red card incident, isn't it?
Like, did VAR actually look at it?
I don't think so.
Because even with the penalty, they were so quick to get the game started again to try and not get VAR to look at it. I'm like, what is the point in having it there if you're just going to rush to these decisions? But
that's the kind of thing, though, that us as Celtic fans, if we do decide to bring it up, then we get told we're making excuses anyway. And listen, there's no excuse for losing last week. We were poor.
We're
not allowed to bring up things like that.
No, you're not allowed to. Like, it's, even when you win and you bring up the decisions, you can't say it because you've won the game in the past. Any time say, oh, you've won, what are you fucking moaning about? Like, when you bring it up when you've lost, it's fucking a sore loser.
Sour grapes.
I know. But it really was poor. I think we need to, as you said, see an improvement on Saturday, but I think a lot of players need to buck their ideas up. Even players for last season that have been stalwarts for us, I still think a lot of them need to kick it up a notch, because we're entering Saturday is important, then the following weekend you've got to play them at Ibrox, and then before you know it, Champions League's going to roll in, and we're talking about how important this week will be for transfers. I think it will be massive, because I think we needed players before last week, but I think that's kind of put everybody into panic mode that this team's fucking. We'll go into it more later, but I think some of the opinions, I mean, I do think we need players of quality in that. We'll go into what we constitute, what a quality signing is later, but I feel there's been a lot of discord on Twitter that it's kind of getting a bit out of hand.
Yeah, a lot of stuff getting out of hand, McGinley, over the past week since that St Johnstone loss, and I don't, because we are just trying to move on from it now, Kieran brought up the point that I was thinking about doing a podcast to give our sort of knee-jerk reactions to the game on Sunday, but I don't want to get too into it and too because a lot of people have their opinions, but Saturday just felt like, or sorry, Sunday just felt like that was exactly what the against Rodgers supporters really wanted. That was their ammunition. Mm-hmm. I don't want to use the word wanted, because I know nobody wants to see Celtic lose, but that,
I think some do sometimes.
That felt like the ammunition that was needed to like go, I told you so. But now I think there's more on the line here for us to be able to go, well, we told you so, when Celtic get it back together, and I think that can start this weekend.
Yeah, and I don't think they could have handpicked a better tie. St Johnstone at home. St Johnstone are the real off-form team in the league. Now, St Johnstone might turn around and say this is the perfect time to play Celtic because they're out of sorts. They've got defensive injuries all over the shop, but you know, it's at home. It feels like ages since Celtic have played at home just due to this break of away games in between. Even Brendan Rodgers was saying that it feels like it's been longer than what it has been. He's desperate to get back and feel the support of the home fans. I'm hoping that support will be there for him still. I'm sure it will be, you know.
A few people on Twitter's know the concerns.
I think a 90-minute performance will do the world of the good.
I mean, this is the thing that I was going to say to you there, McGinley. Like, St Johnstone, yeah, they've had a week off. They're in a good position. They didn't play at the weekend because they were knocked out of the League Cup in the group stages. So they've had a week off, fair enough. But this is still a Celtic side. Touching on what you were saying, even with these injuries, they've got to be beating St Johnstone at home. They've got to be beating St Johnstone convincingly at home. So how important is that 90-minute performance?
Yeah, I think so. I think, first of all, you need to win the game, and then you need to get a clean sheet as well, because Celtic haven't had a clean sheet this season. Is that three games in, and they've conceded in every single one of the games? That's not good enough. Mm-hmm. The two goals, especially against Ross County, were just an annoyance. Those two goals, you're like, come on, like respect your defending a wee bit. I know the second one's a bit dodgy because it hits off Starfelt and goes in, and I'm gutted that was like his final act before leaving the club. It just hit off him, but that first goal was a calamity, and you don't want us to concede silly goals. The Aberdeen goal was silly, and then the Kilmarnock goal was well worked by them, but at the same time, you know, he was completely unmarked. Armstrong was unmarked. It's a good ball into the box, good finish, but it's all preventable. I suppose that's a good thing, because you know that Celtic can improve in the weeks to come. I think you'll see a response from Celtic on Saturday. I've just got a funny feeling they're going to come out the traps firing, because they'll be angry, they'll have heard all the criticism, and I think it'll fire them up.
See, I think it's important to stamp out the silly defensive mistakes, especially when we're on the build up to some massive games. As I said earlier, we've got Champions League on the horizon, but right now we need to focus on what's in front of us in the league. But I think even more so, I think it will be more important to see an attacking performance that you can actually be proud of, because I feel last week especially, but just in this season, it's been parts of you just thinking we're so disjointed all over the park. There seems to be no real ebb and flow to the game or anything like that. I mean, obviously we're used to, when we were under Ange, it was just everybody was praising the attacking football, like sort of free flowing. But at Kilmarnock, I generally thought we could have played all day and no scored.
Do you think there's been a longer period of time for these players to adapt to what Brendan Rodgers wants to do? Do you have faith that they'll actually come through it better in the end?
I think he will, because Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. He will get people to fit the system. I mean, it's not that any of these players are incapable of playing in Brendan Rodgers' system. I mean, obviously they're very well suited to Ange. They've been brought in for that exact purpose, but they're good players. Like, some of the players are badder, who could definitely go into bigger and better things, like, as much as people don't want to admit that. But
you know, one of the things I was thinking the other day to myself, I was like, it's very different this time around to Brendan Rodgers' first few seasons here, for a number of reasons. But a lot of people already are putting this expectation on the team to be the full polished product. And even when Brendan Rodgers was here his first time, I remember we were playing competitive football for weeks before a ball was kicked in the league. You know, we were getting things in our system and getting the time to work on things competitively for, you know, three or four round of Champions League fixtures. Mm-hmm. And then you took that in a league campaign. This time, you don't have that. We've jumped right in, you know, head first into a league campaign. And I don't know what people... I hate coming across as this just Brendan Rodgers mega fan who's going to defend him to the depths of hell, right? But I don't know, are people genuinely expecting things to be like pitch perfect three games out of the season?
I think the whole thing is, like, we talked about how people gave Ange time because it wasn't his team and that, and like, to be fair, Ange did walk into an absolute shit show, but I think people are like, Rodgers walked into a treble winning team, like he walked in with the tools at his disposal, but obviously you've lost Jota, you've lost Starfelt, some players that are still on the team. It's just, it's very evident with the injuries as well, it's some people who just would not be in his team, I think. Mm-hmm. I've heard he's had his way. But that's why we've got the rest of the week to get these transfers in. But I don't know. It's not been as 3-4. I think me, myself, when the appointment got made, I was kind of on the side of getting Brendan Rodgers. It's not going to be too much of a transition, even though when you deep that, like, deep down, like, you actually deep dive into it, like, the style of football they play is not the exact same. It's attacking football, like, but any manager Celtic bring in is going to play attacking football. Yeah. So it's like, for the main things that the inverted fullbacks and that is, like, it's completely different in that sense. You've got players like Greg Taylor, who was a player of the year contender last season, now looking with a general consensus,
like a most competition
of the fan, like, most of the fan base now are very accepting that we need to get somebody in.
Yeah,
I remember even last season when, like, even when we still had Ange, we thought we were going to have Ange. We were talking about Greg Taylor. You can praise him all you want, but you knew for a fact there was no, if we wanted to be serious about levelling up as a club, he was a player that there was no time for sentiment, what, sentiment to be brought in. Somebody better has to come in. But I think it's just been, there's too much frustration going on now, and I think that the actual last thing you needed was that result. But you're hoping it could be a blessing in disguise, that, well, could be the kick up the arse.
That's it. I was hoping that, Ryan, this is the kind of game, that the Kilmarnock game is one that we could actually look back on and go, well, thankfully that brought us a kick in the arse for transfers, it brought us a kick in the arse for performance, it brought us a kick in the arse for this, that, and next thing. But generally, I just wanted your thoughts on the whole, basically what me and Kieran have been back and forth on here in regards to, you know, adapting styles and players trying to get into new roles and such. What's your thoughts?
There's some players that were playing in specialist roles under Ange Postecoglou that when they revert back to their traditional roles, you can see that they're not good enough for Celtic, unfortunately. And I would say that's Anthony Ralston, Greg Taylor, the two fullbacks are really struggling at the moment. Taylor more so than Ralston, I would say, because Ralston's played under Rodgers before, I know, fleetingly, but Greg Taylor, man, he's struggling every game. It's noticeably bad. But he's not the only one that's struggling that was a stalwart in the team. Cal McGregor's struggling. Our captain's really struggling.
He needs a big performance this weekend. Mm-hmm. McGregor needs to get his, because he's the guy that you want to see drag other players out.
He sets the standards on the pitch normally, and when your captain's not been, I'm not saying he lights the world on fire every week, but he keeps a high standard for the rest of the team.
It's like
he
drops 7 out of 10s every week normally.
When he drops a 5 or a 6, it's noticeable though, that's the thing, because he's so consistent in doing a 7 or an 8 out of 10. When he drops a couple of levels, then I think the rest of the team suffers because of it. He's the metronome, and when he stops ticking, then the team stops ticking.
I feel like
result.
Everybody in that team, the result of the weekend will be hurting McGregor the most. Yeah. So you've got to think that would be the personal thing for him to
driving factor.
Seen that his post match presser as well. He looked absolutely destroyed after that result. Aye, because there's the Celtic TV interview that he looks quite sad, and then he just looks totally crestfallen in the press conference. It hits him harder. I think.
You know that he deep down he knows he can give so much more, and he's so much better than that. Mm-hmm. He's just been really off it for the last couple of games, and just a number of things that he does. We were having a conversation, Ryan, on Messenger a couple of weeks ago, and just talking about, you know, the difference in him showing for defenders and coming short and being able to help play them out. He's not been doing that. He's just looked a shell of himself.
I think that's why Lagerbielke struggled on his debut. I thought he wasn't that bad. I thought the two of them were actually okay. It was more the fullbacks were having bad games, but because McGregor wasn't there to easily take the ball off the two centre backs, I thought they were struggling. Lagerbielke gave the ball away quite a few times. He was trying to get his
own pass. He was trying to get the longer pass to them because he never had the short option. But I feel like it was noticeable last week, because I felt there was a lack of driving force up the park. Normally you've got McGregor who picks the ball up and drives the team forward, but I feel like we were just no option shown last week. Obviously Kilmarnock done well to nullify our game plan. I mean, if we had a game plan, because it felt like we were just putting, like, that's what annoyed most people last week, because it felt like there was a distinct lack of playing style. It seemed like the players were on the park and they never knew what they were to do with the ball. Like, for gone for, like, last season when everybody had a clear assigned role, and I've just seen 2 each.
Have they pulled it back for 2-0?
Yeah, 2 each.
Wow.
But if you're going for, like, a playing style that was so defined and everybody knew what they were doing, I'm not saying Rodgers doesn't have that, but it feels like it's no, we keep saying the polished, like the finished article. Yeah. And I think it's clear to see. And I'm hoping we get when they talk about transfers, because
don't worry, that'll be coming up after the half time quiz.
Just quickly, I think it's because a lot of people, now, Ange Postecoglou, you knew what style of play he was going to play always. Whatever plan A was there, and plan B was to do plan A better. I think a lot of people thought when Rodgers was coming back, they're like, this is a guy that can tinker with games, can tinker with his team and his formation halfway through games in order to get a result. If you're struggling, if you're maybe on a draw, you'll get a win, or if you're losing, you might scrape a draw, mm-hmm. or you might get to extra time in the case of Kilmarnock. But I just think that people are maybe, I don't know, are they expecting too much too soon from a Brendan Rodgers team? I know they shouldn't have got beat against Kilmarnock, but at the same time, you know, it was a difficult game to yeah. negotiate. I just think there's a lot of, I think because he's been here before previously, there's that added pressure on him because he won
everything. The way that he left is that's the reason that most of this.
Because if he'd left in the summer, then there wouldn't be this sort of pressure.
No, absolutely not. Not in a million years.
I think people were quick to take him back after a while, but now that one result's went against them, they're like, oh, we'll just revert back to.
Well, it's a job to do this weekend. Before we get into the team prediction to finish up the match preview side of things, we'll touch more on it when we get into the transfer talk. But Celtic have been crippled heading into this game. And when I say crippled, I don't mean it very lightly. They're crippled to the point where Brendan Rodgers today had to take a list out to the press conference to read through the injuries currently at Celtic Football Club. We've got official confirmation that not Brendan Rodgers, he's not out for 2 months. Cameron Carter-Vickers and Mike Navrovsky will both be out for 2 months. Stephen Welsh will also be out for 2 months. We had our injury updates on Rio Hatate, who'll be back after an international break. Alistair Johnson will be back for Saturday, which is good news. But the list goes on beyond that. Those are the main names. But ultimately, you're looking at 3 of the 4 centre-halves that Brendan Rodgers wanted to use this season being injured for up to 2 months, which is not ideal. Kieran, it leaves us with Liam Scales and Gustav Lagerbielke. A lot of pressure for Gustav to start his career in a situation that Liam Scales probably wouldn't have found himself in. Well, didn't think he was going
to
find
himself in. I don't think anybody expected Liam Scales to be in this position. I generally thought he would have been going to Aberdeen or just leaving the club, if not there, somewhere else. But we now find ourselves in a position where we did go out and sign centre-halves. That's the annoying thing, because it seems that we're vastly unprepared. But I feel like we went out and signed the centre-halves and we've just had a very bad run of luck here, because in a perfect world, we'd have everybody fit. We'd have Carter-Vickers, Navrovsky, we'd have Lagerbielke as a backup, and then Stephen Welsh is the absolute last resort. But now we're finding ourselves with a boy about twice second game for Celtic, starting alongside Liam Scales, who's only made a handful of appearances for Celtic. So it's not the ideal situation, but in the fact that this is going to be it, unless we sign somebody, that's going to be your starting back to, if not a lot, playing in the centre half role at Ibrox. So it's far for the situation you want to be
count.
In.
Stop the count.
But I mean, I think whatever the centre back partnership is this week, I think might be the one at Ibrox, to be honest. I mean, I would like to think we'll get somebody on loan, but I don't know who we're going to get on loan.
Yeah, it's not an ideal situation, McGinley. But it's a massive chance for Gustav Lagerbielke, if you look at it positively, for him to step up and show that he could be the partner to Cameron Carter-Vickers. He's got competition with Navrovsky, so it's an opportunity for him that he has to take.
He's in there by default, you would say, but at the same time, he's shown enough already, both in his performances for Elfsborg, and I think in small parts against Kilmarnock, to show that he can do a job.
Yeah.
And that you'll probably see more of him at home with regard to his passing game. In fact, he's playing on a proper pitch as well, will help his cause. But it's for Liam Scales, he was playing as a left back for most of his Celtic career. It was only really
forget that
he was playing as a centre back for Aberdeen. You know, he was playing against Darvel last season, and now he's going to be playing for Celtic in a lot of games. You know, it's a big opportunity for him. I thought he did okay in pre-season, but I just thought it was just a temporary thing until Aberdeen came in.
I wish I didn't say it weeks ago, but we're actually having it. As mind you, I said he's the Owen O'Connell, the assistant of Brendan Rodgers.
You said that. You manifested that in the reality.
I'm the cursed one.
That's the reality, now. Are we going to get Cole O'Toole every time?
It's happening. Go. Right, let's get in here.
Sorry, it was just the thing. Brendan Rodgers was talking about potentially bringing in an experienced centre-half.
Johnny Evans?
Aye. Do you know,
I'd take Johnny
I wouldn't
Evans.
Be against it at
we'll
this
come
point.
On, we'll come on to it. We'll save it for the transfer
it's
talk.
It's sad we're at this stage.
Aye, I know it is. But we'll come on to it in the transfer talk. Let's do a quick starting 11 predictions and score predictions so we can move on to all that. We'll go starting 11 very quickly. So Joe Hart, obviously, in goals. The back four, then, do we think it's as clean cut and straightforward as Ralston, Scales, Lagerbielke?
I thought you said Alistair Johnson was
more. Sorry, well,
Jenkins starting, but. Because you need to think of the
Ibrox
the
is in a week.
Make. I think it maybe gets 20 minutes or something
at the end of the game. I'd prefer that personally, aye, just so we're not rushing
might
them
back. Might as well just start Roushan, I think.
What do you think?
I don't know. Because if he's fit, you play him. Apparently, he's been training really well since Brendan Rodgers. So.
But I mean, did Carter Vickers not come back for injury and now he's out again for 2 months?
That's true.
I think that's playing in the back of his mind.
If it was me, I'd start Roushan. And that's something I don't say very often, but I'm saying it now. My back four would be Roushan, Lagerbielke, Scales, and Taylor. That would be mine.
Fuck me.
Which?
Head for the shells.
I'm going to put Johnson in.
You got to put Johnson.
You play your best players.
So Johnson over Roushan.
If you want a good performance, and Brendan Rodgers has never seen him before in a Celtic talk.
Listen, it makes a lot of sense, Ryan. I don't disagree with you what you're saying. I just get the fear now that we're in a very precarious position.
Aberdeen, man. 3-2.
Is it?
It was 2-0 when we started this podcast.
I'm thinking to myself about de-risking for the injury, but see, at the same time, I think it might get the flow of the team a bit better if you get somebody that's gone into a big game. You need to try and get. We talked about how disjointed it was. I think having him on the park will help massively. So. Fuck it, start him. Right. Let's roll the dice.
Nice. Midfield three. Will he stick with Odin, Thiago, home, or will Turnbull come back in?
I think he'll stick with home, I'll be honest. I want to see more of him at Celtic Park. I think you can't really base too much off of playing on that plastic pitch. I know you have to play on them in certain games of the season, but I think it's such a good opportunity for him. It's a good game. It's against St Johnson. You know, he'll have the freedom of the park to operate in. I'd actually quite fancy him to score if he starts.
Oh, nice.
I think I'd probably start him, but I'm just thinking about how everybody was buzzing for him to start against Kilmarnock, and then the amount of people I've seen writing him off straight after it. So
Celtic, baby.
We're a fickle bunch.
Aye, we're a fickle bunch.
I'm glad I'm not on your Twitter, man.
it's a horrible place to be.
Mine's just worse, honestly. Saying that, mine's just happily became a wrestling page now, like literally, that's all I should have seen. But
I might just stop following like mad meme accounts.
Dang memes. So I'm going to agree with you. I'm going to go to Thiago home as well. And the front three.
Did we do the midfield? The O'Reilly.
O'Reilly
and McGregor. Aye.
Do you think Yang gets a start?
Yeah,
I think you give him a chance to try and be direct, because I mean, then we never really offered a lot last week. You've seen it wasn't really coming off, but you could see he was trying. Like, I feel like that you could say that about him melding most other players in the park when we were trying to get ourselves forward in that. I mean, I feel like we'll talk about later about people like Haksabanovic. I just feel like, I mean, he could have won that penalty for us, to be fair, trying to bomb forward, but I feel like you're not even thinking about him and your possible starting 11s if you're putting Yang ahead of him.
Sadly not, no. So where would you, who would you put Yang in over, Abad or Maida?
Maida.
Okay, so
although there's a, you could play Maida up front, but no, you don't drop Kyogo.
No.
Do you notice how deep Kyogo was having to drop on Sunday against Kilmarnock?
Oh, I know. Aye, very deep, especially in the closing stages
of
the game.
It reminded me of when we had like Edward and that playing under Rodgers and how deep he used to come, but different kind of striker. You shouldn't need to be doing that.
Well, we'll go for Kyogo, Abad and Yang then.
Yang deserves his chance.
We're pretty unanimous, except I went for Ralston over Johnson because I've got the fear. But there you go. There's our 11 predictions very quickly. We'll go from right to left. Kieran, score prediction?
3-0.
Ryan?
4-0.
I'm going to go 4-0 as well to St Johnson. that's the score predictions for the weekend. That's our team prediction and the whole preview done. I've knocked my microphone away to France here. Right, we're going to go to the halftime quiz in a moment, which I'll let Kieran all get set up and prepared for. But before we do, it's time for our Fantasy Premier League shout-outs, because we started the Celtic the Thunder FPL League last week. For the first week, we weren't here because we'd done no podcast. So we're actually catching up and we're on week two. So if you were in the top 10 for week one, sorry, you missed your moment in the sun. We're going to go over the top two, the top 10 very quickly. Congratulations to everybody who is there, but can I have a massive thank you as well. We managed to pull 468 players. Uh-huh. For the year, 468, and the whole aim is to come and try and beat me. After week two, I'm currently 37th.
There's going to be 467 people that are getting a prize out of you.
Listen, I'm a good player. 37th right now out of the 468, which means the 36 above me right now, you're doing pretty well. Shout out to the top 10: Owen Brown, Peter McNamee, Ari Nugrat. Oh god, this is he's a one here.
Where is it?
Yeah, Ari Nugraha. Is that it? Nagraha. Ari Nagraha, Kevin O'Toole, Conor Traynor, Stuart Wallace, Rory Hughes, Finbar Brady, Owen McDonough, and Patrick Barron. Well done. That's our current top 10. Patrick is at the top with 161 points. That's madness. What are you playing at? But yes, congratulations to the current top 10, and we'll keep following it throughout the entirety of the season. But it's time for the halftime quiz. And on that note, I've got a treat for these. So I need to give a bit of context here, because I kind of play this without telling them, right? So for me and Ryan obviously went to uni together, and we had to make podcasts, didn't we? Mm-hmm. We had to make podcasts, and they wanted it to be, you know, fun, creative, something different. They wanted it to have music and all the rest of it, and I was like, oh god, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I decided to make a spin-off version of the Who's That the Who's That Tick quiz game over a full podcast, and I now have us an opening theme which yous will not be able to hear, so that's going to be
I've heard it before. Oh, right. Heard it.
So I'm going to officially debut it for everybody listening at home for Who's That Tick. So I hope yous all enjoy it. It's a spin-off of, obviously, David Guetta. I'm sure everybody gets that. So Kieran, get yourself ready, because as I let it play, ladies and gents, it's time for Who's That Tick.
Could be Larson, could be Duffy, played for Celtic, now he does nae.
Who's that tick? Who's that tick?
We're getting a UK number one out of that place, I'm telling you right now. I hope he's enjoying.
Got a copyright claim as well.
No, listen, it's my lyrics. Kieran, take it away this week, son.
Right, so for this Who's That Tick, the clue, yous are an international podcast now, boys. Let's go nice and easy and do a very quick fashion one with a game focused on Asian Celtic players.
Okay.
Right, so who wants to go? Player one, is it Edton? Who won the quiz last week? And they can,
it was you, the giveaway, wasn't it?
So you can decide first. You player one, aye?
Yeah, I'll go first.
Right, nice. So this player went from Freiburg to Celtic, and then from Celtic they went to Fortuna Düsseldorf.
Oh, we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
Freiburg, Asian mm-hmm. player?
Yep.
God, Freiburg. So you like Germany, didn't
he? Chaudhry.
Yep.
Ah, yeah, dirty.
Right, player number two for you, Ryan. This player started at Charlton Athletic before Celtic, and then they went to Guangzhou in China. I think that's how you say it.
I'm going to take a well, listen, I don't have a Scooby. Is it the famous Zheng?
Correct.
Yes, that was quite easy this week. Yeah,
their manager, I'm sure.
Did he? Guangzhou. Sure.
I'm going to have a look at that. Did he? Zheng.
Zheng Ji, mind.
Screaming at Hearts.
Zheng Ji. Let's see. I can't believe we've got two out of two there.
I actually thought he was an alright player too for the time he was there.
Let's see. He ended up becoming their manager.
He's only there for a season.
What age is he?
43.
Getting on Zheng Ji.
Aye. I don't remember him looking like that though. Didn't look that when he played for us, did he?
Was it him or Koki Mizuno that had the pure blonde hair?
What?
Was it him or Koki Mizuno that had like, the sort of
Koki
blonde?
Koki had the blonde hair, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Scored against Falkirk, I believe.
We love the Koki and the marijuana. we need to bring him back just so we can get a churn up. Right, that's the half-time quiz done and dusted very quickly today.
And I did say it was a quick and easy one.
Aye. That will last all 10 seconds in the TikTok.
I know.
We need to do it in Slowden reverb.
What did you say there, Ryan? You repeat that. Let's move on to transfers then. It's actually quite handy that it's moved quick, because we'll get a little bit longer transfer discussion.
My God, it's needed.
Once again, when we talk about overreactions and drama and controversy, God, we're no short of it when it comes to the transfer market. Brendan Rodgers apparently wanting 3 or 4 more signings before the end of this window. Apparently the transfers in mind are a goalkeeper, a left winger, a left back and another centre forward. He wants that done by the window shutting next week. On top of that, he's also expressed the need for potentially another centre-half amongst all of the injury worries. God, Ryan, a busy
one. It's
going to
be a busy one. Yeah. You'd hope. I mean, we thought it was going to be busy anyway. I think we all thought there was going to be business that was needing to be done. But especially after that Kilmarnock game, it's absolutely necessary. Even more so with the Navrovsky injury, which is an absolute gutter. We heard Brendan Rodgers talking about it today, saying that he pulled up in the last 10 seconds of the game. I know that can happen at any time, but it's just your luck, isn't it? It's
Celtic, if you were to describe Celtic's luck at the minute, it'd be their luck.
That's that. because you'd want bad luck, but there's absolutely none. There's no luck. Oh, it's just a nightmare. Those are all the positions that I would have wanted Celtic to be going for. Maybe a central midfielder as well, but if that means that Rio Hatate's staying, because I think he's irreplaceable in the last 8-9 days of the window.
Yeah.
If he's going to stay, then that'll feel like I'm not going to say it's like a new signing, but it'll feel like we've kept one of our real star players, because I think there's just
more to
come.
Getting injured kind of went in our favour a wee bit, that put teams off coming in for him.
I hope so. I don't think so.
Because it's not like a pure long term one.
It's nothing that's going to stop a medical from happening. So I'm not really.
Medicals are more about your heart.
It's more about the deep lying stuff in it rather than what's on the surface. I don't think it will stop anything, but I do hope that it maybe it deflects some interest away for the time being. But Kieran, those four areas, I'm going to poke specifically at the goalkeeping one, because we've happened on about that all summer. Are you happy about hearing that, and just in general about those areas that he wants to
I think a new goalkeeper is needed. I think Joe Hart's served his purpose at Celtic now. I mean, last season I defended him, but it's getting to the point it's the indefensible now. There's something every game. You can't be having that as a Celtic goalkeeper. Like, you're not getting that much pressure put on you where you should be making a mistake that's making fans have the heart in their mouth every single game. Like, it shouldn't be the case. But I think we're now at the stage of everybody wanted Livakovic. That's probably not going to happen. Pretty sure he was close to
saying he's done.
Is it signed for Fenerbahce?
He's there with a scarf this morning.
So, I mean, that goes out the window. We'll go into the whole quality and project player thing in a wee minute, I'd imagine. But that there goes everybody's glamour signing for a goalkeeper. So, what would people be happy with for a goalkeeper now? Just any goalkeeper? Or, like, I'm kind of at a loss now because I've seen so much discourse on Twitter. You can't say it on Twitter nowadays, in the past week anyway, without it ending in fucking people at each other's throats. So I just put out a genuine question for people to say, like, what constitutes a quality sign? I said it on Twitter today, just before I came on here, to get a sort of gist for what people were thinking. And I'm guessing people are wanting experience in that. In terms of the goalkeeper, I think people will be more happy if you go for somebody in the region of late 20s, to maybe 30, 31, because it's the experience, and they've got maybe experience in the Champions League group stages. But I feel like that's in a very small pool, and especially a week left in the window, unless we've got these people identified. I don't know if it's looking too good, because it's either that or it's going to be a project.
Well,
signing.
We're going to come on to talking about Lewis Palm in a minute, but let's touch on that, because it's been grinding my gears. I went in a bit of a rant on YouTube today, it'll be Thursday when this is up. I also put up my post on Twitter last night voicing my just utter discontent at the minute for every negative reaction on every player we're linked with. It's a greeting match. You can't, everybody pissed off at every player we're going with. It's a project signing. I get it, right? It's not exactly, you know, the superstars that you would love to see your football team sign, but how are we going to get these superstars? People keep going on about Daniel Pudence. Wolves have came out and priced him at £17 million. Celtic ain't paying £17 million. Celtic can't.
He's not worth £17 million.
No, he's not. He's barely kicked a ball.
I don't think he'd be worth that in 4 years.
Everybody's going on about, oh, it's so disappointing that we're not going out and spending £10 million. Who are the players that we can sign for £10 million? Who are they?
I'm at a giant loss, because it's like, I understand we've got the money now. Mert probably in the best financial position we've been in ever. But it's like, we need to look at the market and what players are worth these price tags, because even people haven't heard it before, but see when you find out they'll cost about £8 million or, what is that, Quentin Merlin, the left back for Nantes or whatever? Yeah. Like, I've never heard of him. I mean, I'm not saying everybody else has, isn't he? I'm not going to say, I don't watch Ligue 1, but it's like, what makes him worth that money?
Well,
like,
this is the point that I brought up on YouTube earlier today, and it ties into that, right? People are like, oh, £7 million, £8 million, that's what we should be trying to spend. What was the difference in Celtic spending £7 million on Christopher Julian than it is to spend £3.5 million on Gustav Lagerbielt? Because I never heard any of the two of them before we signed them. I had no idea. Julian could have came in and been an absolute dud. And we said this to Carl on the way here. Technically, we did throw away a bit of money, because he didn't even play a full season, and he was injured for the rest of his stay at Celtic. He was here for the year before COVID, didn't even get a full season. So that £7 million, you could argue, was money not well spent.
At the time, he was looking like
cracking.
But see, the thing
it doesn't always work.
The main thing that's annoying me is, I mean, I understand, we keep saying we're in a better financial position, we should be spending money. I agree. If the right player's there for that, go for it. But it's people that are just getting annoyed at spending, like, well, we should be going out and spending this money. Like, look at what we spent on Jota and Carter Vickers. We spent that money on them after we had the assurance this season, thinking they're good enough for Celtic. Yeah. Will people be happy if we go out and do that again? Because people are paying for blood when we're no spending £6 million plus on each player now. So are we just to go and spend that? Imagine the uproar the first day. I mean, obviously they'd have proved them wrong, but imagine we went out and spent £6 million, what would have been classed at the time as a Tottenham reject. Imagine what we would have went at their reaction if we went and spent £6 million on somebody that was a Benfica reject.
Yeah.
So that's the reality you're dealing with. We got to see these players for a year before we spent the money. The only player and that we can think of to have is Julian.
Yeah.
That we spent about £7 million quid without seeing what he was like at Celtic.
But that's when people start to hit you with the, well, that's the whole point, we're not doing it, so we can't. And I'm like, well, there's a point we're not doing it because there's nobody out there. I think that the people that are in that market of money aren't either A, interested in coming to Celtic, or B, they're at points in their career where they've probably deteriorated, they are past their shelf life, they've struggled with injury, etc. There's not a lot of attractive players out there that Celtic are able to
shop for. It harks back to the question, I don't know what... I don't think there's any poison. There's no poison everybody. I've came to realise that on Twitter. Everybody's in different schools of thought, that's fine, you're allowed your own opinion. But as people's thoughts on a quality signing now, if they've heard of them for the Premier League, then spend the money on them. Because all we do as Scottish football fans is talk about how overinflated the English game is and how players are getting transfer fees that are not worth it. Like, you see stupid money getting thrown about for absolute shite in there. Does that mean we should go and pay this money just because he's for the Premier League?
Yeah. But, I mean, look what happened the last time we brought up somebody for the Premier League. His name was Shane Duffy.
Nah,
I'm
still looking for an experienced
centre half. I understand. I think the fans want a bit of star power. I've seen that, and I think it was one of Hamish's articles earlier, which I think is a fair assessment. But you're in the last week yet now. Is there any realistic people? Because it's like, as fans, it's not your job to pick out the players and that. Yeah. But everybody's got an opinion on them, which is fair enough. But I think it's unfair. I think in the heat of the moment, and that people are getting too caught up and slagging off every single player we've signed. I've seen Marco Tilio getting called not good enough.
Based on what?
He's not made it have a fucking injury. Like, that's what I'm meaning. Like,
he doesn't keep his injury there. He's not good enough.
Yeah. So people are so caught up in the heat of the moment and wanting to be pure raging that they're just hitting it with absolute nonsense like that. Like, people, like, you just need to see what these players are like. That's the only way you know. But I mean, like, understand, like, players like Kwon isn't looking the best signing the new. But I mean, realistically, me and Ryan were saying, how much football has he played for Celtic?
About 45 minutes.
He had one bad 45 minutes. And half, well, not half the fans, but a select number of fans would send them back.
But it's like, we talk about, we made this point, you made this point, McGinley, on the podcast the other week about how half the fan base had Giakoumakis written off, so I did, after a penalty miss against Livingston.
Yep.
Some of these players are getting the treatment before they even kicked a fucking ball for Celtic now.
It's something that's never going to change. We go through the same process year after year and nobody ever learns. That's why I've had a few people, and I'm going to let you come in and give your piece to them again, because you've been basically in the middle of a tennis match here between me and Kieran. But one of the things that I was saying earlier on to Kieran in the car was, I was getting, a lot of people agreed with my wee rant that I had on YouTube about it all the day, right? But it was like 20% of people who didn't, and they were like, oh, blah, 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 and this, that, and next thing. And I'm like, this is the same story every year. And like, I don't even know why I'm rising to it, because at the end of the season, I'm happy anyway. So like, I don't know why I let it bother me so much. But it's just frustrating just seeing like so many people so negative about things. Like, and as Kieran, you summed up perfectly, everybody's just so angry at certain things that they just want to say anything. And I'm like, and you said it well in the car, 4 or 5 games time, if we're winning and winning and winning, nobody's going to see it. And it's just, it flashed in the pan again.
We went at Ibrox and Brendan Rodgers is the second coming of the Messiah. That's just the way,
I feel like the problem is, it's like, it's either, there's no in between as Celtic fans, it's either everything's over the top rosy, best team in the world, or we're in fucking crisis. Like, there's generally, I don't think there's a middle ground, to be honest. I think it's always one extreme or the other. Like, and it does get tiresome, especially in things like Twitter, but because everybody's just so angry and just throwing it everybody's entitled to their opinion, but some people are just getting fucking ridiculous with it.
McGinley, what's your stance on it all, just all together?
I think I agree with the fact that a marquee signing or two would be quite good, but I still think you can get them while staying on the model. If you spend maybe a wee bit more for a younger player that's 22, 23,
yeah.
as we're probably going to talk about with Luis.
Why can he not be the next Jota? Why is he suddenly not qualified?
Is that not just good business? You see the fact that you're not spending 7, 8 million, is that not good? No, that you're
everybody heaped praise on the fact we got Hitati for 1.2, 1.5 million pound.
If
we signed Hitati this window, he'd be fucking in the same bracket as Quandary.
No, it would be. I said to me here, like, it's nuts that people are going on about this, that, next time we spend 7 million when the guy who we want to keep the most and regard as our best player we signed for 1.5 million quid.
No. The problem I've got is if you do spend 10 million pounds on a player, which would be great, that'd be a great statement of intent. The byproduct of that is that you need to pay that player £10 million worth of wages or the wages that are in that ballpark. If you value him as that, as a transfer valuation, you've got to stump up the wages to match that.
Yeah.
And that's just not possible with the wage structure that Celtic have
got. I made the point as well, like back when before things went to panic stations a few weeks ago, we're talking about people were asking, do you think Celtic will pay... break the transfer record for this back when players like Fabian Ryder and that were getting thrown about. I said I personally don't think we'd do it. I wouldn't mind if we'd done it, but only if the right player came up. And it's like, imagine the pressure like that would be heaped on. Look at the pressure that's on players that are coming in for this fee. Imagine somebody came in and broke the transfer record and they had one bad game at the start.
Oh.
If you thought it was panic stations, you know, just wait till you see half of the reaction you're seeing on Twitter. Because people would actually lose the heat. The same people that are calling for these transfers would go off their fucking nut.
To be fair, I remember being at Christopher Julian's professional debut for Celtic, and I think it was against Dunfermline.
I was going to bring this up
in the League Cup. My God,
I was going to bring that up.
Every time he made a mistake, you could hear it in the fan. You could hear it from the crowd.
Yeah, they were like, "You hear the wincing."
Yeah, is he doing that? You know, we've spent X amount of money for this player. Why is he making mistakes that a £2 million player would do? It's just, it's pressure. It's what happens.
I love Celtic. I love our podcast. I love our supporters. I love everything about this club. But we moan about sometimes the rewriting of the past for the other side. Boy, our fans can be just as bad. We are pretty bad at rewriting the past sometimes. We can do it. We are guilty of it.
Mm-hmm.
I guess every football supporter is, because as soon as things are going your way, bang, it doesn't matter what team you support. It's got to be a big window for the next week before it shuts. On that note, we have name dropped him a couple of times. Celtic have reportedly submitted a £3.5 million bid for RSFC winger Luis Palma, Uruguayan, he's not Uruguayan, he's Honduran, who currently plays over in the Greek Super League. £3.5 million. Ryan McGinley, you've been speaking and writing and all such about him today. What have you picked up so far? Are you excited and does he look good?
No way for Celtic to get back on, or Celtic to get back in with the fans than signing a player that Rangers wanted there in the window. You know, I see what they're doing here. No, I'm kidding on, but he does look like a good player. You know, he does look like he's got a bit of quality about him. Sort of similar vibes to your sort of Sinclair in terms of the goals and assists that he gets. He knows his way around a free kick as well. He's clearly too good for that league, I would say. His numbers are pretty good. I think he's scored 2 and assist 3 already this season in the Conference League and the league combined. So,
it's 2 goals, 2 assists in the Conference League alone, I'm sure.
It's one of those ones where you hear Greek journalists talking about him, saying that this guy's a good player. You know, Celtic are close to matching the valuation for the player. Seems as if he's a guy, much like Navroski was, that can just come in straight away. I think he'd be a starter if he came in. If he was to sign tomorrow, I'd want him playing on the Saturday. He's that sort of player. I think we do need a left winger. You know, Jota's still not been replaced over a month and a half on. He would be your Jota replacement, I think.
The numbers he's putting up.
Well, I was about to say to you, Kieran, he's made just over 100 senior appearances. And in those 100 odd senior appearances, he's scored almost 40 goals as a left winger.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, you can argue all day and night about Greek football and Honduras.
Pudence played there.
Yeah, exactly.
A better record.
Yeah, better record in Greece than what Pudence had in Greece. So, if you want to try and talk about Pudence, there you go. So 40 goals almost and just over 100 appearances along with 12 assists, that's pretty good numbers for a left winger.
Just to take it off a bit more light-hearted note, it also hangs for me, do you know who his manager was last season for a good portion of it? Alan Pardew.
Was it?
House of Pal.
Andre Gray plays for that.
Oh,
Aris.
He?
Because I remember I went in a rabbit hole last year, like, at the start of this year. I was like, where's he playing now? I was like, why is he there? And then I seen who's manager. I'm like, I just hope that Lewis Palmer's learned the dance after McPardew.
I'm trying to recreate it.
He's such a dad, isn't he?
We're talking about the numbers. Like, we're talking about where's the Jota replacement. I mean, I think this could be it. I mean, you're looking at somebody that's playing in a league that's probably very, probably better than the league in terms of the rest of the teams in it.
Anyway,
like, so, like, you're looking at teams that have got a bit of quality, but they've got teams like Olympiacos that were having players like James Rodriguez and that in their squad. So, like, there's obviously a bit of quality in that league, and if he's putting up numbers like that, there's no reason why he couldn't do that in Scotland. Because at Celtic, we don't solely rely on the striker to get the goals, and that was seen with the numbers Jota and Abad has put up in previous seasons. You need these players to step up to get the goals, because even though Kyogo does end up top goal scoring like last season, you still need the rest of the goals across the team, because your goal difference would have been without that. But I'm hoping that he can come in and silence the people that are already calling him a dud.
Well, we're going to have to watch it develop over the next few days, Ryan.
I think this one will happen.
I think this is one of these ones that has the feeling around it that it's like, you know how you see certain ones, like when you see Lagerbilka's one start or Navrovsky's one start, you're like, right, okay, this will probably happen.
It always seems to start when you hear about a journalist in that area talking about it. That's what happened with Lagerbilka, that's what happened with Navrovsky. Usually it breaks and that nation that they're playing in before it breaks over here.
Yeah.
That seemed to happen. That Giannis, I can't pronounce his second name, I'm so sorry.
Antetokounmpo.
But I think it's like Chopu or Ten or something like that.
I'm not good with the Greek pronunciations.
No, it's, you know, just call him Socrates, that boy that played for Arsenal, you know what I mean? But it seems as if this one is quite far down the line. They've met the valuation, or they're close to meeting the valuation. And that's one in the door, that's one out of three or four. So, you know, it'd be great if Celtic could be in a position to, like, unveil them at Celtic Park on Saturday, and then they can move on to other targets, or even better, put them in the team.
Yeah.
I think it'd be too rushed now for the game, but if he was there at Celtic Park, or even in the crowd watching the game, then that'd be quite swift business.
Yeah. So he looks as though he's coming in, which is good. Happy with that. We kind of touched. We don't know who the goalkeeper will be.
No.
We don't really know who the left back will be. Of course, there was talk that we were liking the look of Quinton Merlin, but I don't know if that was necessarily.
Do you think there's any possibility of Kieran Tierney?
Well, that's where I was going to go next.
I think it's going to Sofia, isn't it?
It looks like it. I think Celtic should ask the question. They should get Mikel on the blower and say, don't know what you're playing at, but we're interested.
You said Mikel, I thought Lustig. That's terrible, that. I'm like, what is he doing at Arsenal? Or what are you asking?
But realistically, it looks as though he will be off to Sociedad, but if we could make it happen, I'd love it
too. I thought the whole thing was Arsenal were wanting to loan him out, but we had an obligation to buy at the end there, and they value him at 25 million quid.
And I think Sociedad can afford that, can he?
Champions League as well, that's a big thing.
So, I mean, I think it's a bit of a pipe dream.
I wasn't sure if that was sort of dead in the water, the whole Sociedad thing, because I remember that was the big thing a couple of weeks ago.
I mean, it was kind of just before I left to get
you
crept up again tonight.
Josh Doig moved anywhere?
I think he's still at Verona.
I thought he moved to Bologna.
Oh, did he?
I thought they signed him.
Let's have a look then. Josh Doig. God, you're on top of things, Kieran, aren't you? He currently plays
still at Verona.
Still at Verona, apparently.
Like, to Bologna. I know Ferguson.
It's quite interesting looking at where he played last season. He played more as a left midfielder than a left back, which is quite interesting.
There you go, left mid. I mean, it's just a bit of a pie in the sky one, I feel, for now. But, I mean, who knows? Maybe KT will just sit there, pick up the phone to Sociedad and go, no, I'm not interested. I'm holding it for Celtic. You can dream.
See, if we're going to move on to the centre-half thing, do you have any in your mind that you would like Celtic? Because we're talking about the free agents that are available, Axel Tuanzebe.
Tuanzebe probably the best.
Make my FM team come to life. We're nearly there. We could have had Livakovic and then Haksabanovic and then Tuanzebe. It would have been like a dream come true.
You've already cussed Haksabanovic.
Oh, God. We can't bring in Tuanzebe now. Listen, I see a lot of people getting all kind of, like, it's not an ideal situation to be in. Realistically, who comes in unless they blow us away and they keep a spot in the team? They're only going to be playing for 8 weeks.
Is there anybody? Because I was speaking to my dad about this. The way he was talking about is an experienced defender. Is there any experienced defenders in Premier League teams doing South who are on the fringes of the team?
People are going to laugh at me. I'd take Johnny Evans for 8 weeks. If we could get him on loan to Manchester United, because he ain't going to play. If we could get him on loan to Manchester United, I'd let Johnny Evans play for 8 weeks. I mean, granted, it's not ideal that he's going to play two Champions League matches.
That's brutal, man.
That's brutal. That is. Ultimately, though, there's not many players out there who are realistically going to come in and happily sit in that role.
I just thought something, Nick, is like, I watched Johnny Evans in the Champions League when it was on ITV. Now it's on TNT. We watched him. Think about the amount of time that's passed between that. Listen, yes, he's been a good player down in England.
Great at Manchester.
He vitalised at Leicester as well under Rodgers.
Do you know who I seen on the free agents list on Transfermarkt today? And it sent a shiver up my spine at the possibility. Stephen Cocker.
Oh, no.
He was supposed to come to Celtic.
That's what I mean. Then he went to Dundee.
Oh, no.
Did he play up front for Liverpool in one game? He came on and
did
played
up front.
I'd take Big Evans if Rodgers gets him on the board.
With the experienced comment, is he going to look down that route? Obviously, because he played under him as well. Yeah. I don't know.
Is there only one international break between now and... Is there two before Vickers and that are back?
Well, I mean...
Depends.
Would there not be one, like, November? The last one? It's usually October, November, isn't it? Well, cause it's usually September, the first one, obviously. And then I feel like it's in November.
See, we're lucky that we're in the situation where we will be missing a week because of the international fixtures. So that will obviously aid us in getting them back earlier in the actual season's gameplays-wise. That's the only name off the top of my head.
It's going to be a hectic week ahead anyway.
It is. Talking about hectic, we're in for a hectic end of episode. We're about 53 minutes into recording. So I'm going to power through our Twitter questions for today, and then we can get on to the end of episode quiz. It's been a fun one. While I get the questions up, observations on the week, anything that's happened, anything you've done, anything, any thoughts in the world itself, feel free.
Went to see Strays last night.
Oh, did you see it?
It's actually all right.
Was it good, aye?
Yeah, was watching it differently because I've got a dog. Like, the fact that you could just, like, leave a dog on the street like that. I've not watched Marley and Me since I got a dog, so I don't think I can do that.
I've not watched Marley and Me.
Never. Any thoughts in the week, Kieran?
About Celtic related?
Any observation on what's going on? Politically?
The political landscape? No, absolutely not.
I've got AEW this weekend, Sunday. We're in London, biggest wrestling show of all time. So that'll be fun, I suppose.
Greedo?
But is it, there's no, nothing's been confirmed.
He's
going
to do that.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Did you see Grado?
I don't think he will.
The very G4 claims own Grado.
I don't think he will. The show's stacked as it is. There's so much on for like to squeeze into a show.
Where do they
fit it? Like, there's like they'll 10 matches. I would love to.
Change the time because it was happening?
Five to ten. I'll be knackered. I'm flying at six.
It's all in the equivalent of WrestleMania.
Well, no. I'll explain to you after the show, right? And before we go, let me film a bastard on TikTok this week, because we've not done it, right? So remind me before we go. Okay. Right, cut our questions. Let's fire through them. Let's go. Cal is always in there. Favourite ice lolly?
Calippo.
Aye? Mm-hmm. Really?
Strawberry Calippo, yeah.
Really?
I would go orange or... Like the lime one, aye.
Oh, God, no. No,
we're talking actual ice lolly. I'm not talking about Magnums and that. That's ice cream.
I still want to take a Calippo, but...
I love a Calippo.
I like the Coca-Cola ones, remember? Was it Mr. Bean Coca-Cola ones back when you were younger?
Maybe when you were younger.
Yeah,
it's got to be a Twister, surely.
No.
Oh, go off. A Twister's better than a Calippo. I'd rather a Fab.
Twister's still... You're still... Nah. Nah. I'm sticking with a Calippo.
Oh, fair enough.
Is Fab the one you get abroad?
Fab's one like chocolate with the sprinkles, then white and red.
You don't like a Fab?
I told you I'm lactose tolerant. I never touched any of that stuff.
It's an ice lolly.
I've still got chocolate on it.
Ugh, I suppose I'd take the tiniest bit. Anyway.
And ice cream.
Yeah.
the main thing.
Try and bump you off. Out of 10, how do you rate the summer window so far, says Oren? So far, I'd say six.
Five or six, aye. I think that's been hit because some of our most successful signings have been injured.
Yeah.
Zavrovski, I know there's another question on there that asks.
Adam lad says, how big a crisis are we in if we don't improve and we don't get signings? Do you think it could be like the COVID season all over again, or do you think we'll still win the league?
I think that might be the difference. Is we're not going to win in charge, so I think that's in our favour this time. But I think the Champions League campaign could be a sore one if we don't get some signings made.
Fair enough. Ryan, what is now the minimum for this season to be considered a success, since there's no treble?
A double in progress in Europe.
Cool. That's Aidan's question. Thank you.
That'd be a treble for me, because if I see Celtic win one knockout tie, that'll be a success. Yeah, I'm happy to. You see, if that, I know it doesn't work like that, but like that exchange, I'll take that.
No, that's a treble. No,
if we don't,
sounds like a deal with the devil.
If we don't get both now, I'm like, well, if we don't get either, then I'll be like, oh, well, what was the point in losing that Kelly?
They haven't, have they?
We really have been spoiled with trebles, but because like people saying that is the minimum like requirement this season.
Yeah, people think it's a commodity. It's not. Know. It's so difficult to get.
We've won it 8 times in our 130 odd years of existence. Like, it's not easy to do, lads. This is what I was reacting to a moment ago. McSpath. Has Doner kebab pies been added?
That's what I seen earlier. I was like, we never went to the stall for the first game of the season. If he's lying, I'm not going to be happy.
McSpath, do not let the man down. We'll have to go and check at the weekend, see if there's Doner kebab pies.
I'll even tell him, mate, man.
Go to the McDonald's, get me a kebab and put it on a pie.
Fuck no, I'll pass if it's from McDonald's.
Do you not like McDonald's?
I've never been in, but I just know for a fact.
I had a chicken kebab there. Lovely. It's nice.
I don't take your silly approval. You'd eat shite with sugar on it, man.
The worst part is you're no rank. Would you take Fraser Foster on loan for Spurs?
No.
Like
probably
Ryan.
A worse option than Joe Hart in terms of ball at his feet.
Do you think we need another centre half? Yes, we've been through that. Liam in again, see, I think you've got a fan. He said, hi, Kieran, hope you're well.
I know, I liked his comment.
Oh, did you? That's good. Both Ryan's at centre back and Kieran at left back. No offence, Ryan, but surely you'd be better at left back.
Left back in the hole.
God almighty.
Taylor's like a giant next to me.
I mean, God, don't imagine.
Playing like the Lisandro Martinez role.
Last question I'm going to go for today. I know we'll flow through them quick, but I don't want to drag on the show too long today. What do we make of the Rocco Vatta situation? Now, there has been talk that he could be off.
I've never kept up, because when I was looking through like the Celtic news on Google earlier, I thought there was some development in that situation, but he's been bagging the goals for the B team.
Should we get him on a new contract?
I mean, we should, but I think he'll probably leave, because there's no direct path to the first team.
Yeah,
we sign all these players for abroad and we don't even get a chance to them. Is that because they're not good enough? Who knows? I feel like we have this conversation every 2 weeks.
See, the thing is, if Celtic want to go out and spend, I think I made this point in the last podcast we were on, actually.
I forgot that this was the last thing I'd done on my laptop.
Drop pants for signings.
That's still open. Go on, Celtic, get it done.
If Celtic need a replacement in that position, I think he plays right wing, left wing, so they're well covered there. They'll go and spend 2-3 million on a player. That's probably what they're going to do with Luis Palma. So it's one of those ones. If he doesn't see a pathway through the first team that was getting worked on, because it looked as if he was going to get more of a chance under Postecoglou. If that chance is there, then there's not really a point. If he's too good to be playing in the Lowland League, then he's better going to another club where he's going to get first team football.
Yeah,
I feel like we've kind of skipped at the point where, I mean, players like Ben Doak and all that getting signed by big clubs, I feel like we've skipped at the point of us developing them as into their actual career.
Yeah,
they just take them for the youth academy and then they do their own thing with them, and they probably give them a better career than what they would have for you, because how many boys have you seen that looked like stars and that were supposed to be the next big king in the academy who are now playing in the low leagues of Scotland? Calvin Miller, an example. Jackie Hutchinson, all these people, they've not had a fucking career. A very good one, when they were thought so highly of.
Yeah, it's an age-old question with the youth team players, but we'll watch what happens and we'll keep you updated as it comes along. On that note, let's move on to the last segment of the show. Let's move on to the full-time quiz. Ryan McGinley's hosting this week. The league table as it currently stands ain't good, because it's McGinley unbeaten at top.
Stop the count.
I think I'm on 2 played, or am I on 1 played? I can't remember. I'll need to pull up. And the do you know what? I'm actually going to pull up.
I think I've only played one, got beat one.
Since we've done it officially, I think Callum's still to play a game. So we need to get him on or whatever. Have you got a theme for this week's quiz, McGinley? Well, look this up. Or is it just a quiz?
It is the 2022 World Cup in Qatar.
Oh, yes. Of course, in case anybody missed our show last week, our quizmaster Kieran has now moved to Qatar to live full time, to work full time and such. So, obviously, very much themed on his.
$1,500 a day. No, see that video. I still get paid.
So, as it stands, Ryan McGinley's top with 2 played and 2 wins, and then me and Kieran are on 1 played with no wins. So, time for us to try and get our first points in the board, Kieran.
Right, so, who wants to go first, who wants to go second?
Kieran, I'll give you the luxury.
Go fucking... I was going to go first, I was just going second, I'm going to stick with it. It's going to do me good while these weeks.
Okay. Player 8, that is you, Ryan. Question number 1. How many players went to the 2022 World Cup whilst playing for Celtic?
It was... Dyson Maeda, Cameron Carter-Vickers, Aaron Moy. It was 4 or 5, and now I'm starting to doubt myself. 4.
Correct.
Yes. Juranovic was the other one.
Yes.
Yep. Player B, Dyson Maeda scored in Japan's last 16 tie against which eventual third place team?
Spain?
Croatia.
You just stopped him at them as well with Juranovic.
I know.
Oh, unlucky.
I actually don't remember that World Cup like at all apart from the final.
I enjoyed it a lot, man.
So did
I enjoyed it, but I don't remember it anyway.
Right, I'm going for 5 out of 5 here. Let's go.
It's the 2020 Euros. I can't really remember. I remember Scotland, obviously, but see from that until the final, I can't remember much of it. So, Ryan, true or false, Hearts had the biggest representation of all the SPFL clubs with 5 players across 3 different national teams.
No, I know Hearts had a couple of players. I don't feel like it was as many as that, though. I feel like that across 3 national teams. I'm going to say false.
Correct.
Aye.
They only had Atkinson, Rose and Devlin, and they were all for Australia.
Yeah.
Did all 3 of them get put in the squad? Fucking hell.
Yeah. Player B, time. Kieran, this is to get your first point, hopefully.
You struggle.
How many national teams at the World Cup had How many national teams at the World Cup had SPFL representation? Right.
Oh fuck me!
That's quite a difficult one, actually.
I know.
Like you have to go through all 12 teams. Oh, I'd add the 4 number it there.
Oh, wait a minute.
What is the question? It's
for like national teams. So how many?
So how many separate nations had an SPFL representative? I can count 5 in my head, but I feel like there's defo more. But I don't know what other ones. I'll just go 6.
Great.
Oh, good guess.
I don't know. I had the 4th for Celtic, and then I had who was the 5th one? Hingy for Canada, Wotherspoon.
Oh, Wotherspoon.
And then what was in the other
Wheels?
One?
I don't know who got called Wheels. Up.
Did Matondo?
No, yeah. I don't think he even got called up.
Probably Matondo.
Dylan Levitt.
Oh, aye. Shout.
Right. Giving us a working as well.
I went 3 out of 3 here. Let's go.
Right. Player A, Ryan, who were the only team to defeat Argentina in Qatar 2022?
It was Saudi Arabia.
Yep, we were in class.
Yeah, that's right. That's how I remembered. That's how I remembered.
Kieran, this is to make it 3-2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. England's group contained Wales, USA, and which other non-European nation?
Iran.
Correct.
Oh, that's right. That's a good one. So we've got 3-2, and I'm like, Rick, 1-5-5.
What? So, question number 4, Ryan. Which Argentina player won Young Player of the Tournament award?
Was it Julian Alvarez?
No.
Enzo.
Oh, shit. Of
course,
for so much.
That's right. Oh, no. I jumped in. Oh.
Right, okay. So this is to make it 3 each.
Mm-hmm.
Mbappe and Messi were the top scorers of the tournament with 8 and 7 respectively. The next 2 top goal scorers are Argentinian and French. Name one of the 2 players.
Alvarez.
Fuck
correct.
Off, man.
Fuck off.
Can you name the French player?
Was it Randall Colomwani?
No. I think he only scored like once or twice. Colomwani It's not the one what?
Randy Colomwani.
Whatever. I know it's a dad. Oh, sorry, I'm not taking a pause.
I don't even know who's good for France. To
I'm sure Antoine Griezmann.
Giroud.
So this is to so
Ryan make it 4-3 and then Annie.
So the 2022 World Cup final was the first to go to a penalty shootout since when?
2000 and hold on, I'm not diving in. France didn't they? Spain didn't they? 2006.
Correct. Yeah. This is to equalise and take it to a tiebreaker. Name the final penalty scorer for Argentina, who also won the Europa League for Sevilla this year from the spot.
Is that Montiel?
Correct.
Is that not the one that's gone to Forest now?
I think so, aye. All right, okay, tiebreaker question then.
Okay.
I'm going to be in the boat with a league with new points, what?
I can't... Tiebreaker. I really can't not do it for this tournament. Fitzsimons, can you... can tell you exactly what question I'm about to ask.
Oh, wait. No, I don't. No.
How many goals were scored in the 2022 World Cup? A total of 64 matches.
Oh, right, okay. 64 matches.
Is it you going first?
Aye, because I was player one. 64. Oh, God. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God.
283. 283?
Yes.
179.
You're only 7 off. So the winner is Kieran, 172. Oh my god, 200?
How many did you say, Ryan?
283.
283? I forgot the fucking six now.
how many groups for that?
Fuck off, man. So the I'm not good at maths. I just threw a number out there.
So where does that put me on the table, Ryan? I know about you, but...
Fuck off. And that's us for this week. The league table stands as Kieran in second place.
Bottom of the table.
No, okay. I'm going to
You're going to get relegated for your own podcast.
Right, thanks everybody for coming out this week. I think we've kept it a respectable time, actually. But we will be back, and funnily enough, the next podcast.
Oh, we're back for another one.
Derby preview.
Derby preview.
Get ready for all the cliches.
Who's on the form on the day and yada yada. Derby form goes out the
window. I'd get a miss if I was
you. You know what I'll be now. But we'll see what mood we're in come next Friday. So stay tuned. Thank you everybody for your time. Kieran, thanks mate.
Nah, it's been a pleasure being back.
Kieran, thanks.
Aye, just been to me.
Ryan, so good you need
him
twice.
Thanks as well to you, Ryan.
Thank you very much for having me. And, always.
Like and subscribe. We'll see you all next time. Cheerio.